Sarah Sarandon, the former mayor of New York. I think, well, it wasn't Ed Koch. I think it was David Dinkin. Other famous people as well, Ruby Dee, civil rights activists, Ossie Davis. Here's what the Village Voice's take on it. Everything is expected. Protesters toting placards of Giuliani, that's the mayor of New York, with Hitler mustache, carrying police state posters, carrying old-fashioned wool banners with NAACP appliques. Anticipatory tingle in hours before main event. Weather making this a good day for civil disobedience. One police plaza, same old hideous esplanade fronting unsightly brick headquarters, but jaunty note added by stiff late winter breeze, smartly snapping flags of city, of NYPD, of USA. Today, the eighth consecutive one of civil disobedience, this was over a week ago, responding to the killing of Ghanaian immigrant Amadou Diallo. No dignified response yet from City Hall, no satisfactory answers from police, no indictment of four police officers involved in shooting of, for once, definitively unarmed black man. See under suspicious weapon, look-alike, cell phones, radios, discmans, beepers, in the vestibule of the Bronx building on the night of February 4th. And it was pointed out to me by my producer, Becky Johnson, that this case, of course, is great similarities with our own shooting of Happy John Dine, who, of course, they produced this toy gun later on, but, of course, no witnesses who are not police witnesses here in Santa Cruz saw that gun in Happy John's hand or pointed at the police, as Chief Belcher insists was happening. Continuing the story after this phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, hi, Robert. Bob here, LaMonica. Just a brief comment. Once again, the Happy John Dine case, where was SCAN? Where was the Santa Cruz so-called Action Network?
Good question.
I think it's time that the true activists in Santa Cruz got real about what the so-called Santa Cruz Action Network really is, which is essentially a diversion and a dodge and a misrepresentation. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bob.
You bet.
Again, reading from the Village Voice of March 24th. Solitary woman waiting on bench, woman Carol Taylor, activist, author of The Little Black Book, self-styled first black woman flight attendant in the U.S., Mohawk Airlines, veteran of dozens of protests from Central Park jogger rape trial to present, perennial voice at race-based protests, now calling out in solitary, rasping voice, 41 bullets, 43 days of damn silence, P.U., I smell something blue, could it be the racism and colorism of the police? Never underestimate the symbolism in a culture of face. Police department elaborately organized around rituals of non-disclosure, mayoralty organized around secrecy of nearly Vatican proportions. Nothing guarded more assiduously by current administration than personal authority. Big embarrassment having blue barricades and pens full of noisy protesters in central area of one police plaza. Police not accustomed to this type of mess in own front yard. Police Commissioner Howard Saffer exits the building approximately 10:30 a.m., two attendants flanking, strides past Taylor, past other early protester, placing arrest Giuliani placards on the ground. Good morning, Mr. Saffer, the man says. Nice day in the police state. Saffer hunches shoulders, gives wan smile. Martin Luther King Jr. name inevitably invoked in current context said once that when you have found a morally sound objective, you do not equivocate, you do not retreat, you struggle to win a victory. Same principle behind series of protests following Diallo killing. The objective varies in this instance. Arrest of police officers involved in the shooting, residency requirements for city police, dismantling the 48-hour rule. Police are currently shielded by PBA regulation from questioning for 2 days after possible criminal incidents. Perhaps should change more punitive aspects of community-based policing. End random friskings, apparently based on color or race. Stop blanket collars of fair beats in search of illegal handguns, abandon once and for all delusionary pursuit of one middle-aged, straight white man's notion of quality of life. At the news conference before the Thursday protest and arrest of Kwesi Mufumi, Basil Peterson, Percy Sutton, and dozens of members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered community, Mayor Giuliani resumes schoolyard bully strategy of public ridicule, claims daily protests are getting silly, actually, I think this is getting to be a really abusive situation in the sense of trying to use the police in ways that are highly inappropriate. I think they are over the top now. This is the piling on time where everybody is hoping, let me see if I can get on camera. What of it? Bob Kohler, gay activist, former owner of The Loft on Christopher Street, Stonewall veteran, a founder of Gay Liberation Front, appears early Thursday, insists he will pledge himself to protest in spite of the fact that I do not equate my oppression with the oppression of blacks and Latinos. You can't. It's not the same struggle, but it is one struggle. And if my being here as a longtime gay activist can influence other people in the gay community, it's worth getting arrested. I'm an old man now. I don't look forward to spending 24 hours in a cell, but these arrests are giving some kind of message. I don't know what else you can do. No one does. Before being cuffed, Mifumi, president of the NAACP, tells a reporter, "A human life was taken in a cold and callous way. The mayor calls this a publicity stunt. When you have members of Congress, former mayors, civic leaders, elected officials going to jail, I think it's contemptible of their struggle for the mayor to call this a publicity stunt. If we don't do this, people will forget." Large crowd forms near noon. Protesters are both black and white. "You haven't seen that before," says John Weiss, chairman of the Gay Male SM Activists. "Little old ladies with canes and people with pierced eyebrows and lips. The pendulum is swinging on quality of life." And quality of life, of course, refers to the anti-homeless programs used by Mayor Giuliani in New York City, arresting homeless people for virtually anything that involves their being in public spaces, sitting, sleeping, selling something, eating, you name it. Chants begin. There's a countdown of shots, first using numbers, then recitations of bang, 41 bangs. Group from the Lower East Side Collective briefly separates from the picket line to pose for a group photo. A photographer, encouraging smiles, says, "Save 41. Silence is the voice of complicity," reads one placard. Many kinds of silence currently at work. One form is probably the compliance of the press, mainstream and so-called alternative, when police institute press pens, impassable frozen zones at public events. When surveillance squad, the Tactical Affairs Reconnaissance Unit, photographs and videotapes demonstrators, often the same people getting arrested time after time, for police department files. "I really, really hate getting arrested," says Christine Quinn, city council member. This is Quinn's third arrest of the week. "Giuliani keeps expecting it all to go away, but he's stuck now. He can't dismiss high-ranking officials, former mayors, union leaders, and a whole segment of the city as a bunch of left-wing wackos. Last night I got a little upset and cried about being arrested, but you have to do what you have to do." The scene plays out as expected. Echoes of Birmingham, Soweto, ACT UP, Washington, Albany. The crowd closes tight to watch two separate flanks of protesters form a semicircle on the pavement, blocking entrance to police headquarters. A very particular kind of embarrassment for cops. Aged captains and lieutenants, rarely seen out during doing street work, are deployed to keep younger officers from becoming cowboys under provocation. A sergeant barks arrest particulars through a handheld megaphone. Other sergeants prepare plastic flex cuffs. Manacle protesters walk them through a packed gauntlet. And unfortunately here there's an absence in my copy, so I'm going to have to skip a line or two. There is serious damage to the image of the goons in City Hall. Approval ratings plummeted 20 days on the day after former Mayor David Dinkins and Representative Charles Rangel were put under arrest. The cops held out as long as possible. It took 20 minutes until the politicians forced their hand by refusing to budge. As Ed Koch pointed out, fanatical micromanager Giuliani would have to have given the okay to make these arrests of top black elected officials. As Koch did not say, Giuliani cannot have it much longer both ways. He cannot claim credit for engineering lowered crime rates and retain a Teflon status when his cops kill unarmed civilians using more bullets than required to fell a bull elephant. The arrests continue. The press thins out. The crowd straggles. A man stands at the edge of the proceedings wearing a leather jacket and bandana, taking in the scene. After the last arrest, he lets out a long whistle. "Giuliani done started some shit," says the man, who refers to himself as King Skibi of the Almighty Latin Kings. This is the understatement of the day. And that's from the Village Voice about the two-week-long daily protests in front of the New York City Police Department in downtown Manhattan, protesting the police department's shooting of an unarmed West Indian immigrant, a street vendor named Amadou Diallo. There's an organization called ARTIST, Artists Response to Illegal State Tactics, whose president is Robert Letterman. I'm going to try to find my tape here. I had a tape of him, and it's, of course, gone south. Aha, I found it. We're going to hear an interview with Mr. Letterman, who we reached this morning by phone. He's been arrested, I think, 36 times since 1994, and he's going to talk to you about that. I'm just going to read you one more brief statement that he made. He read the Village Voice article, and he added this to it, did Mr. Letterman. "I'm the protester," Village Voice writer Mr. Tribay described at the One Police Plaza demo, who greeted Commissioner Saffer with "Have a nice day" in the police state. "To date, I've been arrested 36 times for protesting against Giuliani's ever-evolving fascist vision for New York. My Giuliani as Hitler portraits and the thousands of Arrest Giuliani signs created by members of ARTIST have been a significant aspect of these protests from the beginning. Now that the four police officers have been indicted, it's more important than ever to keep up the pressure. To allow Mayor Giuliani to claim credit for scheduling a few token meetings with black and Latino officers, or to make a few concessions about civilian oversight of the police, would be a further injustice to the memory of Amadou Diallo. The ultimate responsibility for Mr. Diallo's death is directly attributable to the mayor. He and Commissioner Saffer are not running a police department so much as a propaganda machine with officers designed to produce statistics useful to the mayor's political future. The only acceptable outcome of this issue is the resignation, removal from office, and or arrest of both men." And now let's hear this interview with Mr. Letterman. He goes into a lot of detail, and I think you'll find it educational.
Bravo, bravo.
Of course, we have to find the interview first. I thought we had it here. Aha, wrong tape. I think this is it. Let's go for it.
We're on the line with Robert Letterman, president of ARTIST, ARTIST Response to Illegal State Tactics. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
And you, of course, are in New York City.
I'm in New York City, the ever-evolving police state.
Under its favorite Führer, Mayor Giuliani?
That's the guy, Adolf Giuliani. The papers are filled today with criticism by Giuliani of my paintings. For the past few years, I've been doing portraits of him as Hitler and as a dictator, and they're carried in virtually every protest here in this city by many people, and the mayor takes it very personally.
Mm-hmm. You're an artist as well as an organizer.
That's correct. I've been selling my work on the street since I was 12 years old, and actually Mayor Giuliani's attempted elimination of street artists, which was the first thing he did when he got elected in 94, was what made me political, caused the formation of my group, and made me become a political artist.
Can you give us kind of a history of Mayor Giuliani's attacks on, I would assume, not just street artists, but also homeless people in New York City?
Well, under the code name of quality of life, the mayor has attempted to fulfill the dreams of various real estate and corporate interests who for decades have wanted to eliminate the city's population of homeless people, street artists, vendors, and minorities, who they feel somehow take away from the real estate values that to them are the real key issue in life. So from his first day in office, this mayor has had a very ferocious campaign, which has resulted in hundreds of thousands of arrests, not for any serious crimes. We're not talking about rapes or robberies or bank holdups. These are people being arrested for selling a painting, panhandling, sleeping on a piece of cardboard because they have nowhere else to sleep, and so on. The mayor's also distinguished himself as a fierce enemy of the City University of New York, which is a university attended by approximately 40,000 minorities. Excuse me. And he's been attempting to defund the college, which is actually one of the prime institutions of higher learning that poor and minority people in this city have access to. He's also attempting to destroy hundreds of community gardens, which are also in minority neighborhoods. These are empty lots. The landlords of the building let them become so decrepit that they had to be torn down. And the local community people planted gardens, vegetables, made playgrounds, and now the mayor is trying to bulldoze all of those.
So he began in 94 with an attack on which groups?
The very first group to attack was street artists. The reason for that is that the business improvement districts, which are private corporations that run entire sections of New York City now, they always believed that if they could get rid of street artists, were protected by the First Amendment and had the strongest constitutional right to be on the street, that it would be relatively easy to get rid of vendors and cabbies and all these other groups of people that they were looking to eliminate. He did a favor to us by picking us first. I'd imagine that he anticipated that 20 or 30 arrests of street artists would send us all scurrying for cover, and that would be it. Instead, and even to our own surprise, we formed a group that has achieved a very high profile in this city. We've organized ourselves over 150 demonstrations since 1994. And in the past year, we've basically become guest demonstrators at other people's protests, and most of which now are feature the paintings that I've been doing of Mayor Giuliani and other signs about the mayor that are created by myself and the various artists in the artist group.
This the group you're talking about, of course, is Artist. Artist Response to Illegal State Tactics?
Yes.
And how many people does this group include?
Well, there are about 400 people in the group. Like most groups, it has a somewhat smaller number that are very serious, active members that are very dedicated to this process. We, besides the street activities we do, the demonstrating, I do a lot of writing and publishing and handing out leaflets. We also have numerous lawsuits against the city. The first one we won in 97, which gave the strongest constitutional protection to visual art that any court has ever delivered in the history of this country. The Second Circuit Federal Appeals Court ruled that visual art was entitled to not only the same protection as the written word, but possibly even more, because it's a universal language. If you write a leaflet in English, it may be a great leaflet. People that read Spanish or French or Swahili aren't going to be able to do much with it. Do a painting with a political message, people from any country in the world can get at least some idea what it's about, and often could understand it perfectly.
Robert, what was the name of that decision?
There are two court cases that went into it. One is called Letterman et al. V. City of New York, and the other is called Berry, B-E-R-Y, et al. V. City of New York. And the case is often cited as Berry v. City of New York.
Because the reason I mention it is a New Yorker appeared on the streets of Santa Cruz, California here about a year and a half ago, selling copies of his artwork. And when police told him that he couldn't, because it was commercial activity, he pointed to a recent decision in New York City, and I assume he was talking about this decision you're referring to now.
Absolutely. Artists all across the country are under similar attacks, and usually from the same source. It's real estate interests that have their own agenda for controlling public sidewalks and make the false claim that artists, vendors, and homeless people are congesting the streets and have to be eliminated for public safety. When they do eliminate them, these same real estate interest groups end up putting their own things on the sidewalk. Here in New York, they have advertising kiosks that are plastered with their own logos and which are much larger and more obstructing than any street artist or vendor's display ever was.
Now, how far does the consequence of this New York decision extend? Just within New York area, or is
it's the Second Circuit, which is New York and Vermont and part of Connecticut, that it directly has bearing on. And the Second Circuit, historically, is where many of the most significant First Amendment decisions have come out of. So whatever state you're in, if you can point to a ruling from the Second Circuit Appeals Court that upholds your constitutional rights, that has a tremendous influence on judges in any part of the United States.
And the business improvement districts didn't take this decision to a higher court?
Well, they did. They took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, as did the mayor, and the Supreme Court refused to hear their appeal.
So it's established binding precedent?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no higher court for it to go to. And just to give a sense in one sentence of what the city presented to the court, they actually argued that visual art did not communicate ideas and had no symbolic significance, which is a totally ludicrous position, especially coming from the elected officials of the art capital of the world. I mean, this is the place. If there's any city in the United States where art is almost a religion, this would be it. So for these elected officials, including Mayor Giuliani, to attempt literally to eliminate First Amendment protection for all visual art, if they had succeeded, that would have included movies, television, magazines, photographs, and certainly paintings. This was a very significant decision, which many artists, art museums, and so on have looked to in terms of their own issues.
Has it had an impact on the actual experience of street artists in New York City? Are you now free to display your wares, or are you being harassed and arrested on other charges?
Well, ironically, though I started as just a street artist and was arrested along with other street artists, somewhere about halfway through the history of this, I became targeted by the Giuliani administration for my organizing and political activities. So, most bizarrely, even though I'm the main plaintiff in the case, I've been arrested many more times since winning the case than previous to that. On the other hand, we won a very significant victory, which for most street artists translated into them having the real freedom to go out every day without police harassment. But frankly, that was accomplished was due much more to our protest activities than the lawsuit.
Can you talk about those activities?
Well, besides pre-scheduled organized protests, which certainly most people are familiar with, we do spontaneous protests. When the police would show up at a street with three or four vehicles and try to round up the artists, rather than everybody scattering, we would immediately begin a demonstration. Everybody would pull out protest signs, and we managed to mount an extremely fierce, though totally nonviolent, resistance to the Giuliani administration. So much so that the police actually, many of them, became allies of ours. They themselves felt that they were being abused and misused by the administration, being forced to make blatantly false arrests. Just to give you a statistic, I've been arrested 36 times for protesting against the mayor. I've never been found guilty. I've never paid a fine. I only had one brief trial, and I was acquitted. Of the street artists, generally, at least 700 different arrests took place. Not one person was ever brought to trial or ever found guilty. And as it later came out, as we did our lawsuit, the city had determined, the legal department for the city had done research and determined before they ever made the first arrest that these arrests were unconstitutional and that they would therefore never prosecute any of the cases. So our experience has been very instructive for other groups in the city in that it really exposed the kind of process that Giuliani counts on, which is, despite the fact that he has this worldwide reputation as a law and order guy that tamed the savage New York, the reality is that he is the biggest criminal in New York City. And this is how he's, of late, becoming very commonly perceived. I don't know how much of the news is getting to you out there, but here in New York, every newspaper, every day, every TV show is filled with the most negative stories imaginable about our mayor.
Well, I know that there, of course, was the gunning down of a street vendor, 41 bullets into a man. He was hit 19 times?
Hit 19 times. He was unarmed. He had no criminal record, wasn't wanted for anything, and was standing in the doorway to his building.
This is Amadou Diallo?
Amadou Diallo, who is a street vendor, as I am.
You're listening to an interview with Richard Letterman.
Come on, you argumentative sods who like to chew the rack.
Assuming we can learn how to work this machine, which immediately began to be rewind here. We'll try to prepare this for you. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and you're listening to the closing minutes of Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. We have an interview earlier this morning with Richard Letterman of Artist. And Artist is a group in New York City, Artist's Response to Illegal State Tactics, which we are in the process of queuing up the second half of. Stay with us. And if you have any comments on this interview or any thoughts, you can give us a call at 423-3772.
Go ahead.
This very tragic incident has become a catalyst for not only black New Yorkers, but for New Yorkers from every conceivable group who've come together at One Police Plaza, which is the police headquarters, the skyscraper near the Brooklyn Bridge, which houses all the police intelligence and so on. And for the past 14 days, led by Reverend Al Sharpton, there have been massive protests and massive civil disobedience there. Well over 1,000 people have been arrested during the past 14 days, and they include, besides myself and other political activists, people like Jesse Jackson, Ossie Davis, and Ruby Dee, many people that were active with Dr. Martin Luther King, Susan Sarandon, and other Hollywood celebrities, and hundreds of New Yorkers, rabbis, priests,
even former politicians.
Former politicians. The former mayor of New York, David Dinkins, was arrested. Charles Rangel, who's a very well-known congressman from New York, various city council members. It's been an amazingly successful protest, and it's resulted in Giuliani being in a state of total disarray, and he's now desperately trying to meet with different black elected leaders and trying to get them to back him up, to endorse him. But basically, the mayor's reputation, while it may still be very, very good in other parts of the country and the world, has been thoroughly trashed and broken here in New York City. And we're hoping that many more people throughout the country can understand this about him, because this is not a person who's limited his goals to New York City. What his real goal is, and I have this from people that have known him since he was a kid and helped him get elected, this man wants to be the United States Attorney General. This would be a disaster for every American, whatever their race or economic status. This man is an enemy of the United States Constitution. So here in New York, people like myself and the members of my group, we feel this is almost a mission that we have to stop this guy before he gets any further. And when I compare him to Hitler in my paintings, I'm not simply trying to make a humorous comparison. There are very many significant similarities between Hitler's ideas and Giuliani's. I mean, he's not anti-Semitic, just the opposite. But if you're black in New York, if you're someone who has a political agenda that's different than the mayor's, if you believe in free speech, you're basically in a situation here that's only different from the Jews in Nazi Germany in terms of its degree. And if allowed to continue, if allowed to amass more power, there's no telling how far this man might go.
I know that the whether it's Giuliani's leadership or institutionalized policies by the New York Police Department, there's been a lot of controversy in the last year about how the police have treated protesters, including ACT UP protesters, or protesters at AIDS demonstrations. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I mean, this city used to be the world capital of protests. And certainly, at any time in New York history, if you were throwing a brick at the cops or something, certainly you could get arrested. But under Giuliani, the most peaceful protests, the smallest protests, even three or four people protesting, the NYPD, the police department here, immediately surrounds the protesters, puts them in barricades, and routinely arrests their leaders or anyone that isn't willing to completely submit to police directions. Under Mayor Giuliani, there literally is no First Amendment right in New York City other than whatever degree of it you're willing to carve out for yourself, the cost of which is routine trips to jail and hundreds of court appearances afterwards.
Hundreds?
In my case, I've had hundreds of court appearances. Some of my cases have lasted more than 2 years, and we're talking on misdemeanor charges of the lowest level, handing out a leaflet or holding up a protest sign, and it takes years because the mayor obviously controls all the city agencies. So whether it's the judges or the DAs or the Corporation Council, which is an agency with 650 lawyers that work directly for the mayor, all of these different agencies do everything they can to obstruct the legal process, to punish, without ever finding guilty, people that dare to stand up to the mayor. I mean, believe it or not, the 36 arrests that I've experienced are not the most severe kind of targeting that Giuliani has done to his critics. There are other people that have been locked up in mental institutions or sent for prison terms simply for criticizing him.
Now, have you gotten much support? I'm thinking of, if you look at the long-term crusade, it looks like now you're beginning, because of the obvious and blatant, well, incredibly visible nature of the shooting of Mr. Diallo, you know, now people are beginning to crystallize, I guess, regularly and still crystallizing even after the indictments of the four police officers?
Well, the indictments are only hinted at this point. They're supposedly by Tuesday they're going to officially announce them. They were handed down on Friday, but they've been sealed for whatever reason. Nobody seems to know.
Is that going to derail the protests, or do you think that will calm people's concerns? Which to me would be a matter of concern, because it sounds like there's a much broader issue here than the shooting of one person.
Well, certainly the mayor and his entire administration are going to be doing everything they can to derail this movement, these demonstrations that have been erupting all over the city. How successful they'll be, we'll see that in the next week or so. Just today, as a matter of fact, in the New York Times, he's quoted as severely criticizing me personally for my paintings of him, and he's attempting to convince black leaders that are organizing these demonstrations not to let me participate, not to let their followers hold these paintings and signs. We'll find out tomorrow morning at One Police Plaza how the mass of people that are demonstrating feel about this. But there's no question that the mayor is going to be doing everything he can to snuff out these protests.
Now, a decade ago, courts decided that folks could panhandle in the subways in New York City, and I believe that was reversed. Are you familiar with that decision?
Well, it's a decision, yes, that was reversed. They are allowed to panhandle in the street, allowed at least by law. You got to keep in mind that in New York City at this point, under Giuliani, the past 6 years, having a legal right to do something certainly does not guarantee you're going to be allowed to do it. But it is legal to panhandle on the streets, and it is no longer legal to panhandle or even to give out literature in the subway.
Have traditional civil rights organizations like the ACLU jumped on your bandwagon, or have they avoided you? One would have thought that such an errant disregard for basic constitutional rights would be a concern to these groups, and also that there would have been some successful injunctive activity against the behavior by Mayor Giuliani?
Well, the New York Civil Liberties Union has participated in some of this, and they've, of course, been extremely active suing on behalf of numerous groups, everything from the Million Youth March to the cabbie organizations that were prevented from demonstrating and so on. I'm also represented in Washington, D.C. by the ACLU and another lawsuit of mine where I was arrested for handing out leaflets about Giuliani's attacks on the First Amendment in front of the United States Capitol. But part of the problem here in New York is that there are so many fronts, ACLU, the New York Civil Liberties Union, can barely keep up with them. So many groups are under attack. So many rights are being stripped away. And again, I want to stress that this isn't being done because Giuliani's a madman. It's being done specifically to bring economic benefits to extremely rich people, heads of corporations, and in the real estate industry that are hell-bent on privatizing this city's parks, streets, and sidewalks, and to do it for their own economic gain.
I've heard that homeless people as a class, do you have any estimates of how many homeless people there are in Manhattan? Or?
Well, one of the many topics of gossip in this city is where did all the homeless people go? Because the mayor closed a lot of the homeless shelters, and poverty is a bigger problem here than it's been since the Depression. But there are very few homeless people, relatively speaking, that are visible on the street. A lot of them have been locked up. They're arrested on very minor charges, and then because they don't have bail or an address that they can refer to and be a good faith effort on the part of the judge to believe that they're going to come back for their arraignment, they're often held for months at a time. And a lot of them have literally gone underground. A lot of them are living in subway tunnels or in abandoned lots and things along highways rather than being in the more traveled parts of the city itself where they were able to make some kind of living by panhandling. Believe it or not, Mayor and his associates are trying to make it illegal now to take things out of the garbage. In other words, for a homeless guy to pull a cardboard box out of the garbage is now going to be justification to arrest him.
Does Giuliani have a solid majority on your local legislative body?
Not really. The city council, which actually passes the laws in New York, there are 51 members. Only 7 of them are Republicans. But unfortunately, the mayor has many techniques for keeping the city council at bay, including various legislative initiatives that preclude efforts by them. One of the issues in New York that you may have heard about in other parts of the country is the idea of City Hall being made off limits to the people of New York City. Previous to Giuliani, anyone, a homeless person, the president of Chase Manhattan Bank, and anything in between, could just walk into City Hall. They may not get access to the mayor, but they were allowed to go into the building to attend public hearings and so on. The building's been surrounded for the past year and a half by concrete barriers, a 10-foot-high chain-link fence, and a small army of police. And even city council members sometimes are unable to get access to their own offices.
Has anyone tried lawsuits to turn back these fascist-sounding measures?
Well, amazingly, the mayor's lost virtually every one of these lawsuits that's brought. They do take a lot of time. Lawyers appeal it in almost every case to the U.S. Supreme Court. Could I put you on hold for a second? I'm sorry.
Sure. Robert?
So while there have been many successful lawsuits against the Giuliani administration, the results of them, in many cases, are still not being seen. There was a lawsuit against his precluding people from holding press conferences in front of City Hall, but you still can't hold a press conference there without the mayor's permission, which you don't have to be an expert in the Constitution to understand. that the reason there had to be a First Amendment protection of free speech was not to protect people that were going to get up and praise elected officials. It's to protect people that are going to get up, denounce elected officials. No mayor is going to be having someone arrested who's giving them praise. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, this mayor has succeeded in violating the most fundamental rights that the Constitution provides. And these are rights which were never stronger in any city than they've been in New York before Giuliani. So his administration has been a very dramatic shift in terms of civil liberties.
For those who are interested in getting more information, we've been talking to Robert Letterman, President of ARTIST, ARTIST Response to Illegal State Tactics, concerned with fighting, I guess, officially dictated police repression against poor people and artists, and I guess just ordinary people in New York City. Robert, how can we get, how can folks get in touch with you? How can they help in this situation? How can they inform people in their parts of the country as to what's going on?
Well, we have a website which has a tremendous amount of information, legal, political, and even artistic, about these issues. That'll be of use to people in whatever First Amendment struggle they're in. It's a very long and convoluted title, so I would suggest that they either do a search on the web on my name, which is spelled L-E-D-E-R-M-A-N. That'll bring you right to the website, or they can send me an email with a request to be connected to the website. The email address is ARTISTPRES, that's artistprez, at AOL.com.
And if anyone didn't catch that, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will repeat that for you locally. Robert, I really appreciate your taking time. I'd like to have made this an hour interview because you obviously have got a lot to say that we need to hear.
Well, I very much appreciate the opportunity to be on.
And that was Richard Letterman of ARTIST. Thank you, producer. That was Robert Letterman. Robert Richard. It's not all the same. ARTIST is ARTIST Response to Illegal State Tactics. And he's one of the prime, longtime artists, activists, freedom fighters in the trenches in New York City, fighting to restore basic civil rights to street people, homeless people, artists on the streets of New York City. And his campaign is having some success because of the incredibly blatant killing and the blatant cover-up of Mr. Diello in New York City. People have been turning out by the hundreds each day in front of the New York City Police Department's headquarters and sitting down and getting arrested to demand significant change there. And I guess what he's demanding is that the mayor resign and be indicted for criminal behavior, and he's given us really a pretty powerful case, as well as some rather interesting information about homeless people in New York City. For those who are interested in catching the homeless perspective in New York City, there is a homeless newspaper sold by the homeless. It's actually the biggest homeless newspaper in the country, the thickest. I have a copy of it before me. It's sold for $1.50. It's called Street News, and you can get it, if you get in touch with me at 423-HUFF, I will give you I'll give you certainly a look-see at it, and I'll show you how to get a hold of it. We have a familiar caller. I think David Silva has been pinch-hitting for all the rest of you out there who haven't been calling in. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, David.
Hey, Robert.
You're on the air.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if people caught it on TV yesterday, but Jesse Jackson, they gave him some time. He was supposed to make his announcement of not running for president the day the bombing started, and so they just let him have some time yesterday, and he said his reason for not running for president is because no matter where in this country he went and what issue he handled, there was nothing to be done in the electoral forum, that we all had to go to the streets, and that seems to be the message.
Well, I did suggest earlier that we might want to go to the streets Wednesday night.
Sure.
For Don't Sleep Night night for a, my car is my home, leave me alone, too. And I think I'm going to show up down in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz with a pot of food and some coffee.
I'll try to make it. Hey, that was a great tape, Robert. I mean, you know, it was good to see that that little Imperial Mussolini got his fiefdom shaken up a little bit, you know. I was wondering how tight it was there.
Well, it's interesting that all these stars and ex-politicians are showing up to get arrested. I mean, that...
approach to the to Arnold Abbott, and I'm hoping we can actually interview Arnold next, well, maybe even by Thursday we'll be able to get a tape if we can reach him by phone in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale, as you may remember, is one of those cities in Florida under the court order to, actually there's some confusion of this, the court order may have referred only to Miami according to our earlier speaker, but I think actually it was more broadly intended, or at least the local authorities were afraid that they were going to be included in it. So folks who were sleeping outside, they stopped arresting people, they set up campgrounds, they've put extensive amounts of money into shelter, and now should Fort Lauderdale blacken its face by arresting people for serving free food? I would think it's an unwise thing to do, and I'm suggesting to Mayor Noggle of Fort Lauderdale that it's a bad idea. Go do something else. And I suggest you might want to contact him, too, if you're on the Internet. We were also going to get in touch with Kate Wells, and possibly we'll do that on our next show. She's, as you know, she was attorney for the Medical Marijuana Club here, one of those clubs. And that club still has not opened again. And we know that we do have a new Attorney General, Bill Lochner, who has been more sympathetic, certainly, to medical marijuana than the previous attorney general. But he was unsuccessful, apparently, in getting the feds to remove marijuana from Schedule 1, which is no medical uses whatsoever, which, of course, is preposterous. And we wanted to get Kate's perspective on what the next step was, and we're hoping to get that. In the local media front, those of you who read the Santa Cruz Urinal, which calls itself the Sentinel, on Saturday, March 27th, there was a little tiny piece at the top of page 2. Usually it's called Insiders. I guess the column in this case was called Coastlines. And I think it was written by Daryl Cole, who's been covering city council affairs and the sleeping ban. And he, what happened was he did a big boo-boo in his very relatively brief coverage of the city council's cosmetic changes of the buyer's sleeping ban continuance, if you will, the ban that continues. What he'd said on Thursday was that the ban reduced fines from $50 to $20. That's not really true. That's only a part of the fine. The fine was reduced from $162 to $54. And while Daryl is a real nice guy to talk to, and you know, he really feels he's been trying hard on this issue, and he has, it, I guess it's been pointed out, introduced the words sleeping ban into the vocabulary of politicians and the community in Santa Cruz. It's always been the reality, but it's only recently made the papers. They used to call it the camping ban and confuse everything, when in fact it is the sleeping ban sections of the camping ban that most of us are really so outraged about. He attempted to correct some of this stuff with a story on March 27th. He also had said that people would not get tickets if there were shelter space not available. And that, of course, is not true. What was passed was that if there was the winter armory was full, then tickets could be dismissed by the city attorney. But since the winter armory is closing, it's not going to be relevant for the next 8 months, and people are going to be running around getting tickets and having problems. He corrected that with this Coastlines article, and I'm going to run because I have to go, and we have our two new talk show hosts have arrived, the big host and the little host. They're going to come at you. I want to thank you for being with us today on Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I want to invite you to come Wednesday night for Don't Sleep Tonight Night in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz at 11 o'clock. We'll have hot soup and hot coffee and hot conversation. And who knows, maybe we'll make it a hot time in the old town tonight. We're going to also be, some of us will be meeting at Jim Costner's house to talk about the next developments in sleeping band organizing. Give a call to 423-HUFF if you want to be a part of that process. And, hey, Bathrop Spears Broadsides resumes Thursday at 6 o'clock and goes till 8. And the week after that, we will have David Silva squaring off against Mike Rotkin. Boy, talk about your heavyweights getting into it. So join us then, and we'll join you.
The war was done and time was on our side, and no one spoke of how many died in Japan, and no one knew just what that blast began. Such power fell into a few men's hands. It seemed they had the world at their command for a while. When asked about the dangers, they would smile and say, it's too cheap to meet her, too cheap to meet her, too cheap to meet her, like the sun, like the sun. While testing over ground out in the west, the army sent its men to watch the test from nearby, and radiation marked those men to die. The weapons contract signed, the treaties made. Plutonium produced at weapons grade up for sale. No one spoke of the outcome should they fail. The risks are too small to meet her, too small to meet her. Turns right.
The sky splintered. Nobody knows where the light comes from, where the light goes. A shroud of grey ash entraps the rose, and I can see nothing when the wind blows. But still is the memory green in my mind, springing to meet me, heath and heather, a small stream and a low bridge over, speckled light on the sun-washed water, and a slow sun warming. The strings are broken, nobody knows where the song comes from, where the song goes. From the crater's parched mouth a strange silence flows, and I can hear nothing when the wind blows. But still is the memory green in my mind, scurrying of rooks as they rise together. Fish that ripple the river's murmur, drone of bees in the heat of summer, and a skylark calling. The earth is torn, nobody knows where the life comes from, where the life goes. On a land that is blighted, a cold crop grows, and I can feel nothing when the wind blows. But still is the memory green in my mind, spray on my skin in the sea-blown weather. Touch of fingers, warm and tender, blunting nerves at my body's center, and a red sun falling.